On Radio Jackie this morning, I'm joined by former Olympian and leading sports scientist Greg White, OBE, also known as Super Greg, who is talking to us live from the Lensbury Resort in Teddington. The Lensbury is celebrating the opening of a new lounge, isn't it? It's known for its first-class sporting facilities. And Greg, you're a sportsman yourself. Tell us about some of your achievements to start with.
Well, I was a modern pentathlete as an athlete. And for anybody who doesn't know what that is, it's running, swimming, shooting, fencing and show jumping. And I was fortunate enough to be an Olympian, and I also won medals at the World and European Championships.
Absolutely incredible. Now, research shows that over half of us would like to train like an Olympian, but most are worried it would kill us. First of all, is that possible? And secondly, why do you think people are so worried?
I mean, I think firstly, it's incredibly unlikely that it will kill you. And I think, you know, why are people worried? Because effectively, when somebody does die during exercise, which is incredibly uncommon, what you do get is you get a massive amount of media coverage of that death. Interestingly enough, I specialise, so I did my PhD in sudden cardiac death in athletes. And what we see is it's very uncommon, but it does happen, but it always receives huge coverage. And I think because of that, people are worried that it could happen to them. But the one thing we always have to remember is that when it does happen, it always happens in the presence of what we call underlying disease. So the individual who dies has got pre-existing underlying disease, which leads to the sudden death. And so the likelihood of it happening in a healthy individual is incredibly low, number one. And number two is that, to some extent, what humans have is we have this wonderful internal mechanism which actually restricts what we do during exercise, and anybody who does exercise will understand that effectively the fitter they get, the harder they can push themselves. Now, if you put that to one extent, when you look at elite athletes are so tuned and are so prepped and have been doing it for so long, they can push themselves to the absolute limit of human physiology, whereas the vast majority of everybody else simply doesn't get anywhere near that.
Now, there are some factors that differ between men and women. They have different approaches. What are they?
I mean, there are significant differences between men and women for multiple reasons. Fundamentally, the driving force of that is sex hormones. So for women, it's estrogen. For men, it's testosterone. And what that leads to is a differentiation of the sexes when it comes to things like muscle mass. So men have greater muscle mass, and because of that, they have greater strength and greater power. They also have higher values of things like hemoglobin, which is what carries the oxygen in the blood, around about 10% higher in men compared to women. They have bigger hearts, bigger lungs, and because of that, they have a higher, what we call VO2 max, so an aerobic capacity. And so amongst other whole host of other factors, there are significant differences between men and women, which is why the differences between men and women when it comes to world records actually, it depends on what sport it is. There is a significant difference where men effectively are faster, stronger, throw further, jump higher, etc., because of those physiologic differences.
And what is the, I guess, right approach for a successful athlete? What's more important, mental or physical?
I mean, it's a great question, really. But fundamentally, what it's about is the perfect storm. And I think, yes, it is about the psychology. It is about the physiology. But actually, it's about what we're talking about today, and that's the Lensbury. It's actually about facilities. Facilities make a massive difference. And certainly, if you look at the evolution of British sport and our success at Olympic Games, what we'll see is that tracks alongside the significant improvement in the facilities that we've got available to athletes now. Add on top of that, you think about the new lounge which is being developed here at Lensbury. Actually, recovery is one of those crucial factors to performance. It's one thing that we often forget about. We think that elite performance is all about how hard we can train and how long we can train that intensity for. But actually, optimizing recovery and ensuring that we recover optimally is critical to performance as well. So psychology and physiology definitely do count and really do matter. But actually, what we're looking for is this perfect storm where we've got facilities, we have the right coaches, we've got the right environment, and then we've got athletes with the right physiology and the right psychology. And bringing those all together is when we stumble across truly elite athletes.
And you mentioned recovery there. What is recovery? What does that look like?
Recovery comes in multiple guises, really. I mean, we could probably split it into two things. One is sort of the rest and recovery, which we all recognise as effectively reducing the stress that we experience in daily life. Now, for an elite athlete, a lot of that stress comes from physical effort. But also there are a whole host of other stressful factors in our lives. So whether it's relationships, whether it's our friends, whether it's money, whether it's work. And actually, the rest and recovery piece around that is to ensure that we can limit that stress throughout our lives. Add on top of that, areas like hydration and nutrition become really important to ensure that what we can do is recover and adapt as optimally as possible. And then, of course, the other half of it, and the one thing that an awful lot of people seem to ignore, is actually sleep. And it's not just about duration of sleep. It's actually about the quality of sleep. So it's how deeply we sleep. And along this process, we call the restorative sleep hypothesis. Much of the restoration and adaptation occurs during sleep. So recovery, rest, and sleep are absolutely fundamental to health in general, but they are absolutely critically important for elite performance.
And you mentioned the kind of perfect storm, so training coaches, recovery facilities. The Lensbury has got this new lounge. Are you able to tell us, what does the new lounge offer?
Well, I think what it offers is the right atmosphere and the right environment. And I think that that's really what we're talking about, is that it's space in order to deliver all those things we've spoken about. It's space to deliver that removal of stress, to place people and athletes in particular into the right environment where they can effectively de-stress. It's quiet, it's comfortable, they can relax. Add on top of that, obviously, the nutrition that is available is crucial to that process. So making sure that the right nutrition is available at the right time. The critical thing about nutrition is often we think that it's sort of set in stone, but actually we periodize nutrition based upon the activity that we're undertaking. So it's pre-exercise nutrition, it's post-exercise nutrition, and then it's our general nutrition on top of that. And what we see here at the Lensbury is exactly that, is that they have created a truly exceptional environment to ensure that athletes and those others that are using the lounge can optimise their recovery and so therefore enhance their performance.
We've just kind of touched on my next question. What are pro athletes fueling their bodies with? Because I know a lot of people turn to supplements, almost prefer supplements. Can you get the same from eating the right foods?
Yeah, look, I mean, my attitude is very simple, and that is it's always food first. And I think often what we have to be careful of is, I certainly think in general life, is that we think that we can use supplements to replace, and they're not replacements, they are supplements. And so they do what they say on the tin. And that is that the first and foremost, most important thing is that what we do is actually get our nutrition, our basic diet right. And once we've got the basic diet right, what we then do is we can use supplements to supplement that diet for particular times. So for example, when it comes to protein, the timing of protein ingestion, also the quantity and the quality of that protein, is really very important. And for elite athletes who are incredibly busy, but critically are training multiple times a day, in order to get the right protein in at the right time in the right quantity can be quite a difficult thing to achieve when you're juggling it between training sessions. And that's where supplements can add a great benefit in that process. So in essence, it's always food first, and then the supplements support the periodization of that nutrition to support the training process.
Now, the Lensbury is home to some incredible pro teams, and we have got some incredible sporting events happening this year, including the Olympics. What do you think it takes to become an Olympian?
An awful lot is the answer to that. I mean, it's a very interesting question, because I think many people have tried to encapsulate it. You know, the idea of 10,000 hours has been muted as being required in order to make an elite athlete. But I think probably what it does do is it brings you back to the original point, and that is around this perfect storm. is that what we, it is about the individual, obviously about the athlete. And so therefore it is their genetic makeup. It's their physiology. It's their psychology. It's their ability to push themselves to the limit on a continual basis. But equally, you've got to support that with the right facilities. Facilities really do matter. And in addition to that, with those facilities, you've got to have the right support in terms of people. So it is coaching, but it's also sports science. It's sports medicine to ensure the athlete is training in the right way at the right time and also is supported when it comes to injury prevention and then potentially for recovery from injury if it does occur. And then, of course, on top of that, it's actually about time and time availability to ensure now. And certainly we've seen that since the inception of lottery funding for elite sports, is that actually athletes now, effectively, it becomes a full-time job for them. So they can focus and dedicate their time towards elite performance. And that gives them the time to rest and to recover between very arduous bouts of training. So really, you know, what makes an Olympian is the perfect storm. And of course, it really is those unique few that get the opportunity to stand on the rostrum and collect a medal at the Olympic Games.
For those who may be listening and want to get into sport, but maybe feel a little bit nervous about it, they don't know where to start, what would you say to encourage them to just go for it?
The one thing I would say is, look, it's one step at a time. And I think that often we can look at elite athletes and assume that that's how we should be performing. Well, that's completely erroneous. It's about one step at a time. Just progression really matters. I think the second thing is that really it is about commitment. And I think probably one of the best ways to do that is to actually set yourself a target, set yourself a goal. And if you are very new to activity, just make sure that that goal is achievable with the right approach. So, for example, you know, often people say that, you know, why don't you run a marathon? Well, a marathon is incredibly arduous and very difficult to do. But actually, if running is what you want to get into, a marathon might be the long-term goal. But by setting medium and short-term goals, it pushes you along the right path in order to achieve that long-term goal. So ideally, what you would do is you would start off with a 5K, for example. The park run is a great example of that. You start off with a 5K and then migrate to 10K, half marathon, and then marathon. So ensure that it is progressive. But I think probably the most important message is pick an activity that you love. It doesn't have to be running. It doesn't have to be cycling. If open water swimming is your thing or an adventure race, I mean, pick something you love. Try and do it with other people. So there's a social context to it. And the more you love it, the more likely you are to achieve it.